Welcome back into the whole show. It's time for the Lunch Rush, where we get to the top stories trending nationally, or just some of the stuff from the weekend. Monday's Lunch Rush is always like, just pick whatever, man. I mean, some good stories, some terrible stories. Is Zach Wilson, is he going to be the guy? Is he going to get this thing figured out? Getting him back in the fold. His season debut included a historic touchdown catch, a two-quarter slump that nearly doomed the Jets, and the biggest fourth-quarter comeback of his young career. And the Jets are like, what are they? Who knows?
They are the Jets.
They're the Jets.
Don't
still
overreact.
You're not buying into Zach Wilson?
Heck no.
You're not buying the guy? He did the gritty. Did you see that? The little dance?
No.
Oh, it was beautiful. Just doesn't look like he should be doing that. He's like this little
tiny
guy.
Justin Jefferson do it. Stop with the gritties.
Yeah.
It's already overplayed.
But he's like this tiny, tiny little guy doing it. I don't know. It's funny. But the Jets, hey, flawless fourth quarter by him. So, fantastic. Here's some kind of local-ish news. Colts do rule out Shaquille Leonard for Thursday night. But does sound like Jonathan Taylor Thomas from Home Improvement is going to play. They're still waiting, though. But that guy's scary. Is he available? Can we get him? Can we just get that guy? I want that guy.
I think they're certainly going to be watching a lot of film on the last game if Taylor plays.
Yes. Yes. No question about it. Aaron Rodgers, after the Green Bay Packers overtime escape versus the Patriots, he said, this way of winning, I don't think is sustainable. I don't know, man. I just love the way he says things. People hate him. They think he's smug. I just love the way he talks, man.
You love that he's dropping F-bombs on TV?
I kind of do. I don't know, man. He's so unique. You just never
just get
know.
That, like, I want to hear the players on the field.
Yeah, I want to hear these guys. They get after it, man. They
like do an NFL like uncensored.
No, but, well, you've seen the lip reading one. That's funny. Is that not really what they're saying?
No. Maybe with Rodgers.
Rodgers. Okay, now to transition. This is a terrible story, Angel. The Indonesian police, that whole thing with the soccer match. Indonesian police say they were investigating over a dozen officers responsible for firing tear gas that set off a crush that killed at least 125 people at a football match. I mean, I read the headlines to this story. I thought I was praying that it was some kind of just, I don't know, man. I mean, have you heard of anything like this? Just absolutely insane. Most of the deaths occurred when riot police trying to stop the violence fired tear gas, including toward the spectator stands, triggering the disastrous crush of fans, making a panicked run from the exits. Most of the people who died were trampled upon or suffocated. Just an awful story.
No, I mean, you see stuff like this at like concerts and stuff where there's a lot of people and there's like a crowd surge.
Mm.
That is a sporting event. Like, that's just.
And then it just makes it worse when
right.
There's. Oh, my gosh.
It's a lot of people that are confused, you know, trying to, you know, if there's an emergency, they're trying to get out as quickly as possible. And when everyone's trying to get out as quickly as possible, that stuff can happen.
Well, and they were already, the fans were getting a little crazy because of the game itself, right? And they were going at it with each other, and then the cops going to try to calm things down made it worse or whatever. They're investigating the story, so I'm sure more is going to come out, but that's just devastating. It's awful. The pro football consultant who cleared Miami Dolphins quarterback, your boy, Tua Tagovailoa, to play during the team's September 25th game has been terminated, a source familiar with the matter said. So, Angel, fade her on down. Let's pull up to the couch. This is your team, and now you have Teddy Bridgewater, so you're welcome for that. Welcome to my hell. So the doctor, let me just paint the picture as easily as I can. The doctor that said Tua is good to go back into that game and then was cleared for Thursday is gone.
Yes.
So he's
the
gone.
NFLPA assigned joint doctor.
So it's not like Miami.
This is not Miami's
Miami
team
didn't. So
physician.
That's their guy. That's
and
not
the way
Miami's
it works
guy.
Is the Miami team physician and the independent doctor have to agree on clearing a player. So if the team doctor says yes and the independent says no, it's no.
So the team doctor said yes and then the independent said yes.
Yes.
Is that right? And because the independent said yes, that he's in hot water for this.
Yes. And, you know, it's interesting that this firing happened before the NFL's investigation is concluded. They cited him with saying he's making several mistakes Also, that he was being hostile during the investigation process.
That
which
the doctor
I could,
was?
Yes, which I can kind of understand. Like, as if you were putting yourself in that position as a doctor, you're given a set of rules and a test from the NFL. Hey, this is our concussion test. You have to run it like this. Let's just assume that he ran the test correctly, and then the NFL immediately comes in and starts investigating, pointing fingers like, hey, this is your job. What did you do wrong? And, like, obviously we don't know what that situation looks like. We'll get the investigation when it comes out. But it's interesting that it kind of feels like they just fired him for optics, and they just needed somebody to blame while the investigation's going on.
That the NFL just wanted somebody to blame.
Right.
I mean, that's what's so crazy about this to me, Angel, is the obvious decision would have been not to have him play Thursday, to me, just to save...
Well, he was checked for concussion symptoms every day up until then, and according to the medical reports and the doctors on staff and the independent doctors, everything was fine leading up to
but
Thursday.
But I thought we always heard that it was like a week. I mean, I always thought that it was like at least a week you're in concussion protocol, and it was like you got to be a week out. And then suddenly with this story, it just changed. It was like, oh, only a few days.
Well, it ranges. So obviously he took the concussion test on Sunday
and that's,
cleared it.
That's where they're saying, well, you didn't, quote unquote,
right,
have a concussion.
That's
so that's why they played him, right?
Yes.
Because that's what it was originally came out and say, well, he didn't have a concussion, right?
Right. And the concussion protocol that he's in now, it's a five-step system where it's basically you ramping yourself up through physical activity without symptoms. If you fail any one of those steps, you have to restart it. It's like the Dolphins have a tight end right now that's been in the concussion protocol for 3 weeks. So it's different for every player. Every player responds differently.
Yeah. But it's
all of Tua's tests have come back clean since Thursday. So it's just a matter of how his body reacts. But the Dolphins have said they are going to take their time with this and be extra, extra cautious. Teddy Bridgewater was announced today. He will start the Sunday game against the Jets.
There you go, Angel.
So there it is.
How do you feel about Teddy Bones?
I feel good once he has a full week of practice with the ones, I feel a lot better than him just going in on a Thursday night off the bench.
What did your boy Mike McDaniel have to say about the difference between Tua and Teddy Bridgewater being in?
Mike McDaniel was asked, how does the offense change with Teddy Bridgewater? And he said, it's not really that different. Or it really is a lot different with Teddy, but it's the same. So playing a little
strangely, I know exactly what he means.
It is interesting. They're going up against Robert Saleh and the Jets. McDaniel and Saleh were on the same staff in San Francisco.
We're just seeing more and more of that now, aren't we? They're all going to be a part of the
Shanahan's tree.
Yeah, they're all from that tree, man. We're seeing a
bountiful
everybody.
Tree.
Yeah, I mean, Brady, shouldn't Shanahan be in the Hall of Fame again? It's not that. And you can't be in the you can't go in the Hall of Fame based on what other people do. That's you can't add that to that mix. I have very strict policy for my Hall of Famers. Everybody knows this. You were the best of the best. That means 80% of the people that are in the Hall of Fame probably wouldn't have met my ridiculously high standards. Sorry. And I love Mike Shanahan. He's the guy. No doubt about it. But coaching tree doesn't get you in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you can't get into the Hall of Fame based on what other guys do in their careers. That doesn't add to it. That doesn't add to it. I'm sorry. It is still special, though, and it is still great. No question about it. Dixon says, some guys that are available for running back. Devontae Freeman, Devontae Booker. Is Devontae Booker a free agent? Is he on a practice squad? Well, he was with the Raiders last year, right? Where is he now? I'd take him back. David Johnson, Carlos Hyde, Jalen Richard, or Tanner Schwint. Did he play running back? He was an all-state quarterback, Dixon. But I'd consider it. I mean, that'd be fun to see Tanner run. He could be dead after the one run. Could very well happen.
He was a little sick this morning, so he might be on IR.
Might be faking it. Mysterio says, I think high school rule is 5 days from being symptom-free. I don't know. Still wouldn't have really.
Well, I mean, it could be 5 days. If he
like
gets through all five phases in 5 days, then yes.
Yeah.
It could take him 2 weeks. It could take him 2 months.
Yeah, it just depends on...
Everyone responds differently to this kind of injury.
It's just crazy, though, Angel, because this day and age, man, you don't expect this. And I know it's your team, but you don't expect this obvious of whatever blunder this is. Either he had a concussion or he didn't. Are they going to go back and find out that he did have a concussion before Thursday's game? That's what they're investigating, right?
I mean, so you would have to redo the test.
The fact that they fired that guy means that they're believing he was wrong, that he had a concussion in my brain.
Well, now they're updating the rules, so it's like, it's tough because you can only follow the rules and procedures that you're given, but if the procedures themselves are not, you know, good enough, as the NFL and NFLPA have said, then what do you do? Like, I can only do I can only follow the rules you give me. If your rules are messed up, then how am I at fault for this?
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting situation, and we'll see how this investigation goes. I think they said it's still going to be a couple weeks maybe before we get the full investigation, and they are going to interview Tua as a part of this. So that's interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's all interesting, man. That was a weird weekend. Carl Durrell's gone. We're going to talk to Brian Howell about that from Buff Zone, our CU Buffs insider. What's next for Colorado? Who's on the list? Who's going to be the guy? Or is it the current guy? Is it Sanford and Son? 16 minutes after the hour, it's 12 o'clock. We'll talk to Brian Howell coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to Lemons Heating and Cooling. They, you know what, we're cooling off finally. Might be there to stay as far as dropping out of those 90s. So that means you put a lot of work in with that air conditioner. Have Lemons Heating and Cooling. Check that out. Make sure everything's good to go. You don't want to mess with it next year when it's crazy to get a hold of these guys. 970-567-0798. Joining me now is our Buffs insider, Brian Howell of the Buff Zone. Brian, not a major shock. We wondered if it might happen. I kind of went back and forth on the whole deal, but the Buffs have moved on from Carl Durrell.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if the heating and air people can check and make sure things are okay with CU football.
You might need to get over there, man, because things are heating up and not in the good way. You do have to have a fire situation happening there. Brian, let me ask you, did you think that Carl was going to finish the season, or was this kind of a shock to you to see it happen? Again, they got the bye week coming up, so that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, coming into the season, I always, you know, people always ask, like, Carl's status, and I said, I thought he would definitely coach this season unless it was a disaster, and it was a disaster. And the way things were going the last few weeks, and especially that Minnesota game. You know, the first two games I thought, you know, they were kind of in it the first three quarters, and it kind of got away from them in the end, and it was a blowout. But the way that Minnesota game went, I thought, geez, if it keeps going like this, that's going to be really tough. And so it was really after that game that I was kind of on Durrell watch, and the way things have gone – I didn't think he would finish a season. I thought that this was the right time to do it.
Well, I mean, you get to the point where we look at the spreads and everything, and I know teams don't care about that, programs don't care about that, but every single week the line was like 21.5 or 22.5, and they weren't covering that, and that just kind of goes to show you how bad things really were getting. But what's the buyout situation look like, Brian? Kind of talk to our listeners a little bit about that. How much they'll be paying Carl Durrell to not coach their football team?
Well, it's to be determined. The maximum is about $8.7 million, and he's basically owed the remainder of his contract, and that's $8.7 million. However, if he gets a job over the next 2 years, that cost mitigates that. And, you know, he's a respected receivers coach in the NFL, and I don't, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he's back in the NFL next year coaching receivers. I don't know what those guys make, but, you know, let's say it's $500,000 a year. Well, that over 2 years, that could knock $1 million off of that. And, you know, there's going to be, you know, some, you know, negotiation going on. It's going to be a little bit smaller number than that, and we'll see what it is. But I guess to simplify it, the starting point is $8.7 million. That's the max that they could pay. I imagine it's going to be a little less than that.
Brian Howell joining us from the Buff Zone. Brian, I want to get to the list of who could replace him ultimately, but In your mind, just what you were seeing with Carl Laurel, I mean, you go from the weird year, obviously with COVID, but he was good. I mean, Pac-12 Coach of the Year, he was good that year. And then last year was rough. This year was just really bad. What went wrong ultimately? Is it the X's and O's? Is it his recruiting style? Is it his style, his demeanor? I mean, what went wrong with this guy? Because, you know, if you just sit down and talk to the dude, you love him.
Yeah, you know, he's a nice guy. I have respect for Carl, and I got along with him for the most part. Ultimately, I've thought about it a lot, and I think that he's just one of those guys that is a really good football coach, but maybe not the right CEO for your team. You know, and that's just and we see a lot of those guys, right? And I just don't think he's that. And you know, I think one of the biggest mistakes he made was never really connecting with the fans, and he doesn't sell the program very well. I think you have to do that in college. You see some of these coaches that are really good at doing that. He doesn't do that. And I understand that's not on the field stuff, but that helps generate excitement and helps kids recruits, things like that. On the field, I think that maybe, you know, his style offensively doesn't work in college. That's what I hear from a lot of people. And you look back, and it was just 1 year, but he was the OC at Vandy in 2014, and they were awful offensively. He got fired after that year. I know it's Vandy, and that's different. But back to UCLA days, they struggled offensively towards the end, and he got fired. So it just wasn't working. And you know, I think he has a lot of respect in the building, but for whatever reason, his formula was not producing wins.
Yeah, it's just amazing how time flies, but it also, you know, it feels like not that long ago he was hired, but then when you add this season in, it feels like a lifetime. Now, going forward, we look at what, Mike Sanford's going to be the guy right now, the interim head coach for this team. Does he have a realistic shot? If he can turn things around, could he potentially be the guy, or are we going to start going through this long list of the next candidates for the head coach for the Buffs?
I think for him to have a realistic shot, it's going to have to be a pretty dramatic turnaround to where, you know, I mean, they're not going to get to a bowl game at this point. You'd have to win 6 out of 7. And if you look at the November schedule, that's a murderer's row, no matter who you are, let alone this Colorado team. But, I mean, if they're 4-3 the rest of the way, that'd be an unbelievable turnaround. And you have to look at Mike Sanford. You know, even if they're 3-4, you'd have to say, wow, that was quite a turnaround. So I think, going in, I would say he probably does not have a realistic shot, and he'd probably look outside of the building. But, you know, we'll see how he does with this team. If he does a pretty good job, you've got to consider him.
Who are the candidates then? I mean, obviously, we'll see what he can do. The big names, you know, the flashy names that pop up. Obviously, Eric Bieniemy's name's going to pop up. You're hearing about the guy south of all of us with Troy Calhoun. Those are some of the other names. But what does that list look like? And in your mind, guys that you feel like might be favorites?
Yeah, you know, we're definitely at that stage. The beginning stage is kind of throw names on the wall, see what sticks, right? And, you know, so there's a lot of names that are going to be thrown out there. Calhoun's one, and he is, they've interviewed him twice. And, you know, from everything I've heard, he was, he was very, very close to hiring him to replace Gary Barnett back after the 2005 season when they hired Hawkins instead. But something went wrong there. He interviewed when Carl Durrell interviewed a few years ago. So, I just don't see Troy leaving, you know, that for Colorado. So I wouldn't put him there. But some of the guys I would look at is maybe like, you know, if you're looking like big names, you're looking like Gary Patterson, the former TCU coach who was let go last year and is now an analyst, I think, at Texas right now. And does he want to get back in it? It sounds like he does. That would be an interesting one because if he's hired, then his first game next year would be at TCU. So that would be kind of cool. But he's one. And you look at Tom Herman, the former Texas coach, is sitting out there, and he did a pretty good job at Texas. Gets fired because they have unrealistic expectations, and he didn't meet them. So he's a guy that I think would do great here. I look at maybe some group of five coaches that have had success. You know, a Blake Anderson at Utah State. I know they're having a rough year this year, but he's had a pretty good career. You know, guys like that I would look at.
Very interesting, man. It's going to be. Well, I know, you know, Rick George saying, hey, this will be a powerhouse. I mean, what did you make of him saying that? Like, hey, we will get to this point where this program is a powerhouse. I mean, you wouldn't blame Buffs fans if they're kind of like very, very, very skeptical at this stage.
You wouldn't blame Buffs media if they're very, very skeptical. Yeah, hey, I think it's fine to say it. You got to dream that. You got to hope you can be a powerhouse. But this program is so far from being a powerhouse. Just get to six wins and make some bowl games every now and then. And not every now and then. Make them, you know, annually. It's not that hard to get to bowl games, yet Colorado has made it look very hard over the last 15 years. And they need somebody that just makes it not look very hard to get to a bowl game. And, you know, just find that and then think about becoming a powerhouse.
You're exactly right. Let's find a way to win six games, you know, two or three gimmies, and then pull off, you know, two or three tough games in our conference. I mean, that's got to be, and I hate that that's where the bar is, but you got to dream small before you can dream big, and that's unfortunately where the Buffs are at this point.
Yeah, for sure. And there's steps to this, and, you know, the bottom line is they haven't been to back-to-back bowl games since the early 2000s, and that's an unbelievable, you know, stat in this day and age when all you need is six wins, and there's about two-thirds of the country that goes to the bowl games every year. So you haven't been there more than once, even twice in 15 years. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, no question about it, Brian. Well, the Buffs are off this weekend, so we get a long time to digest this news and look forward to see if Mike Sanford can do the impossible, man. Who knows? I'm certainly rooting for him. I was rooting for Carl. I root for these teams. I want these teams to win. It gives us, you know, positive stuff to talk about. We don't come in on Monday with just this rain cloud over our head after Broncos lost, Buffs lost, Rams didn't play, but Bears lost. It gets old, so I'm rooting for some wins here.
Yeah, you know, I am too. And, you know, as a beat writer, you know, we're impartial and things like that. And we truly are in some ways. But when you're around the people, you like the people. And, you know, for myself, it's just much easier and more enjoyable to cover a winning team. You know, so I'm hoping for that as well. Mike Sanford's got a good personality. You know, I think Buff fans will at least like his personality. We'll see how he does with the results. But he'll be good to cover. So I hope that they can get things turned around. And for these players, just get some wins.
Yeah, no doubt. Brian, appreciate you jumping on the show with us, man, to help us make some sense of this move going forward, and we'll see what happens with Colorado the rest of the season.
We'll see. It's going to be interesting.
All right, man. We'll be following your stuff as well at Buff Zone. Appreciate you as always. Brian Howell, our Buffs insider, and there you go. Carl Durrell out after starting 0-5. And it's not just 0-5. It's the way you were losing those games. And, you know, you'd been there for a while. This was what... Well, not a while. This was year three. But I always just say this, Angel. You have to give a coach 2 to 3, preferably 3, unless you see such an obvious step back that you're forced to go, you're forced to move on before you hit that third year mark, before you hit your full third year. And unfortunately, like I said, I'm not saying that Rick George looks at the spreads and goes, oh, they're not covering ever. But that just helps us better define how bad they're losing, right? They're not losing by a field goal. They're not losing by a touchdown. They're not losing by two touchdowns. They are losing. I mean, these games are over by the time we hit halftime. Other than the TCU game, which that was quickly over after halftime, every game has been just awful for this team once you get to halftime. So it was getting worse. It was just the decision-making, and then again, the players on the field, the play call, all of it just kept getting worse. And certainly don't I certainly don't blame the Buffs because of the outcry, but the more I get into this, I don't really like firing a coach in the middle of the season. I don't, because the buyout comes into effect. You're paying him to not coach. Well, who is Mike Sanford? He was a Carl Durrell guy that he brought in here. So to me, it's all it is, 100%. It's not a move to help your program today. It's not a move to help your program next year, unless Sanford turns out to save this team. This move is to pacify the fans for the next 5 weeks, or whatever it is, 6 weeks. That's all this move is. And now you just spent money with this guy, and now you got another guy coming in. I've just never been... I'm just not a big fan of firing, unless it's like really, really, really bad and not just X's and O's. And unfortunately, it was just X's and O's. I don't think they have complaints about Carl Durrell, the guy, just not his football style. Didn't work out. 33 minutes after the hour, Angel, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I know what'll make you feel better. on a day like this. Not a lot of positive surrounding the football weekend, really. But over at Cable's Pub and Grill, all you can eat spaghetti on Mondays, $5.95 for all you can eat spaghetti, and I love their spaghetti, man. It's fantastic. We got Top Text Tuesday coming up tomorrow. We'll see if B-Rad can come in and finally win that $50 gift certificate. He has two. It's the first one to win three, and then we reset. You know the rules. We'll see if B-Rad can walk away with it. Weld County Swami came out of nowhere, hit a buzzer beater, and won Top Text Tuesday. Pulled it out from underneath Dixon last week. So we'll see what happens. You guys bring your best takes. Bring it and be ready to rock and roll. Our guy Trey McBride had some catches in the Cardinals win over the weekend. Good job, Trey. Three receptions for 24 yards. Not a bad outing there. Give him the football. Just make it happen. Also, congratulations to my player of the week presented by Zwei Brewing. It's Air Force's quarterback, Hazeek Daniels. Good game for him. Another Air Force player. Surprise, surprise. It's very rare, Angel, that I'm going to pull a guy from a losing team. You're going to have some really monster games. Because, Dylan was kind of in that mix. Dylan hasn't won one of these yet. He was kind of there, but it's got to be a very unique circumstance. But if Air Force would have lost, we'd have been searching. We would have been searching. He had 156 passing yards, one touchdown, and 65 rushing yards in a 13-10 win over Navy. And, and you got an Air Force team that's 4-1. Even with all the drama, they come out and they beat Navy in a hard-fought game, which we expect that to be. Now they go to Utah State this weekend. They're two wins away from a bowl game already. How about Boise State, though, in the Mount West Conference? Hank Bachmeier transfers out. You bring in, he's a freshman quarterback, right? You go up against San Diego State. San Diego State was winning. They were up 13-0 at halftime. 13-0, and you go, oh boy. It's life without Hank Bachmeier is bad. Taylor Green, he's not going to win any passing awards in that game. He was 5 for 10, 48 yards, but he ran for 105 yards and two touchdowns. That's the element he gives you that Hank Bachmeier didn't. So Boise State gets that win. Absolutely crazy there. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. More aftermath from the game that was for the Broncos. If you're just with us now or haven't heard, Javonte Williams is out for the season with a torn ACL and LCL at this point is what we know. So we know he's done for the season. And talk about a rough loss. Talk about, the narrative. And now, I tweeted this out. I was like, the narrative for the first 2 weeks was Nathaniel Hackett. How bad a play calling and decision making he was, or maybe just decision making. Third week, it was Russell Wilson. Is he worth the money? He's too cheesy, and he's not the let's ride stuff doesn't work when you're losing, or at least not good. This week, well, to start the day, it was Melvin Gordon. And I think now it's transitioned to you just lost one of your key contributors of the season. It's been rough. If you think back, Tim Patrick was supposed to be a big weapon for the Broncos, and now Javonte Williams out. So a tough season just got tougher. Here's the deal. You're 2-2. I'm going to say it right now, Angel. You don't win Thursday, you're not making the playoffs.
Certainly is not looking good right now. It just, you're worried because you don't have a real answer for who this team is.
You're right.
Coming out of San Francisco, our defense is good. Our offense had a good drive there to end it. Let's carry that momentum. And the offense tried in that first half. They were moving the ball, scoring touchdowns. The defense, letting Josh Jacobs run everywhere. You held Davante Adams to a pretty average game for him. He didn't have a touchdown, didn't get anything deep. Patrick Sertan did a great job on coverage with him when
he was
one-on-one.
Love Patrick Sertan, man.
And then it's just that second half, you can't punt the ball four times to start the second half.
No. And then
brought it back within, three? At the end there,
defense
has to stop.
You have to make the stop. And again, you can't just keep putting it on the defense every single possession. And when they're out there on the field for that to start that third quarter, all the rest that they got from halftime is gone. So you're right. the identity was supposed to be, well, we thought maybe, was hard-nosed defense, good run game that sets up a play action. Here's what this offense looks like for me. It's Russell Wilson, and if you don't run for your life, it's going to be a negative play. Meaning, it's either going to be a sack, there's going to be some kind of penalty.
They do lead the league in penalties.
Yeah. I mean,
can't have that.
You can't. They're constantly backed up, and it's getting worse. It's getting worse every single week, it seems like, with penalties. And these penalties weren't on Hackett. They were, you know, false starts. They were holding calls. Garrett Bowles is getting back to his old ways of holding. And now you're just to this stage where you're really, really concerned about the direction you're headed. And I'm telling you, this team, the reason I say that this team's not a playoff team if they don't win Thursday, this was where you were supposed to make your money. This start of the season for Denver. And it's, you know, I had them at 3-1 at this point. So is it the worst thing in the history of the world? Not yet. But you're behind now where I had you. I had you at, I'm looking here. I'm trying to go back to my picks from, or my season predictions from the beginning of the season. Da, 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 da. Here it is. And that's what I'm staying with. I changed one, but I'm staying with where I am. Was. I had them losing to San Francisco, so they flipped that with Seattle. And then I had them losing to the Chargers. So I only had them losing twice in the first half of the season for them before the bye. Well, you can still do that. You can go beat the Colts, and you're going to have to maybe pull off an upset in Los Angeles. But now with the, I don't know. Chargers are still kind of trying to figure it out too. Then you have the Jets and the Jags. So it's still right there.
Those aren't gimme games.
They're not gimme games, but it is still right there. You know, I had you busting out of the gates after the bye, beating the Titans, Raiders, Panthers. And then you start to struggle. I have them winning like two of their last six games. So that's why I'm putting so much emphasis here, because you mean to tell me they're gonna beat Kansas City twice in the second half of the season? Probably not, right? You can beat Baltimore at Baltimore?
Well, they tend to lose second half games.
That's true.
In Baltimore.
And then Denver comes alive in the second half.
So maybe you just let them go.
You're gonna beat the Rams on Christmas? I don't know. The Rams are dogs against the Niners tonight. You tell me what that means. I'm just saying, this is where you got to do it. You somehow got to come out of this. You know, you're at London for the Jacksonville game. Maybe that'd be good for us. Those guys don't know the hell they're watching. It's probably good. They don't have to worry about the crowd or anything there.
They had a good game with the Vikings and Saints.
That was kind of fun.
Or yesterday.
Yeah, that was kind of fun, actually.
I like those London games.
It's nice because you have football all day, literally all day. You wake up and there it is.
Football. Oh, 10 minutes till kickoff. Let's go.
I always forget about it. And then I'm going to watch the preview shows. I'm like, there's a game on? What? Oh, yeah, that's right. The London thing. Cool. I'm just telling you, the pressure's on. Thursday is a monster game for the Broncos. Like I said, I had that as a win. You're going to have to probably stay alive in this thing, pull off an upset at L.A., which, listen, who are the Broncos? Who are the Chargers? I don't know who the Chargers are. I mean, they lost to Jacksonville 2 weeks ago, right? Wasn't it the Jags they lost to 2 weeks ago? And then it was an interesting game with Houston for a moment. I mean,
they were leading.
They were leading,
Houston
and then
it came back.
So it's not, you know, it's...
They're kind of in the same boat.
They are.
Just don't know who. They're not a dominant passing or running team. Their defense is, you know, injured here and there, and you just don't know with these teams.
You really don't, and that's the thing. That's the scary thing. That's the positive for Denver is that they're trying to figure each other. Like even the Chiefs. Okay, Patrick Mahomes was Patrick Mahomes yesterday or last night. He was doing crazy things that takes you right back to okay. That's why he's one of the best, and he will be a Hall of Famer. You know, I'm not really sold. I want to be, but I'm not really sold on Tampa Bay. I don't know how good this offense is going to be. I don't know how good Tom Brady really is right now. Chiefs jump out early, and then you have some key turnovers, and I just don't know. And the Raiders, okay, you got your win against the Broncos. Who are the Raiders? So the saving grace here is we're still trying to figure this AFC West out a little bit. The Chiefs are obviously closer right now. than everybody else is in this division. But yeah, it's must win. Got to win it on Thursday. Don't win this, I don't think you're going to the playoffs.
We talked about a little bit last week about how this first month of the season, for the Broncos at least, was kind of like their preseason. Where are you at now with this team a month in?
If what? What was, rephrase that
for
me.
We said like the first 4 weeks was kind of like their preseason.
Yeah.
Their kind of ramp up period.
Yeah.
How do they look now that you've got a month in?
That's the thing. I'm more confused now than I was. I thought Seattle's game plan was better. Just you lost. Now I feel like we're stitching stuff together here. We needed a crazy late comeback drive or by Russell Wilson at the end.
Or if Jimmy G doesn't step out of the end zone,
yeah,
it could be a loss.
And the Houston game was weird. There were some weird issues there. So where are we? Discombobulated.
It's a good word.
We're just all over the damn place. And now you lose Javonte Williams, who I don't even agree that they were using him to how they really should have been using him. And now we'll never get to see it. We won't get to see it for the rest of the season. 12:49 the time. Let's jump out and get a short break. We'll wrap up this hour. We got the Clay Millen Show coming up at 1 for a few segments there, and then we'll conclude our thoughts about Broncos and a really, really rough outing against the Raiders, giving Josh McDaniels his first win. Talk about insult to injury, his first win as the Raiders coach. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The time. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll get to the Clay Millen Show. Colorado State's quarterback. And, you know, obviously the elephant in the room with him is going to be the injury. And what can he really tell us at this point? What will they allow him to tell us? We all got to be aware of that. We can only get so much from him. But they're set to play Friday. So, you know, he gets hurt over a week ago. The tough part is it is a quicker turnaround. So what does that extra day or that one less day do for Clay's recovery with that shoulder? We'll find out. But they play Friday night at Nevada. That place is going to be nuts. There's drama being stirred over the last week or so. I'm certainly going to ask Clay a little bit about that. Like, what was that process like? Refresh our listeners' memories about, you know, when you guys all found out Jay Norvell was going to CSU. What was that process like? Because Nevada's kind of making it sound like it went one way, you know, as far as, hey, don't play in the bowl game, do all that. It's like kind of trying to hurt Jay Norvell's image. And, you know, I'm not cool with that. Especially when the head coach for Nevada was like, I heard that he was doing that. Dude, you got to make sure on that stuff before, if you want to start throwing out he said, she said, I don't think that's very professional. But if you know that for a fact, fine, go for it. But I'm not crazy about the whole, you know, I heard this is what's happening. Was Nevada off this week, too? Did Nevada not play? I'm not sure. I don't think they did. Played the week before. Maybe they're on a bye, too. So both teams looking to get things right in their conference, in the Mountain West Conference. And we'll see if if CSU can start finding some positives in this season. You know, they're desperate for it. Things got so bad in Boulder that, you know, they just fired Carl Durrell. Obviously, CSU's not in anywhere close to any of that. They're in the brand new phase here with the Rams. But, you know, they want to be able to, at the end of this season, say, hey, there are some positives we can build off of. Let's use those to go into next season, too. And again, there's still a lot to play for this year. It's an early season. They could get it right. They get that offensive line going. Maybe this Rams team can find some positives. All right, the Clay Millen Show is coming up at 1. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.